Good morning and welcome. Whether you're here in person or you're here online, you just feel God's presence to be gathered to worship Him, because it is all about Him. But we're going to take a little time to give a shout out for one of God's wonderful creations. Many of you have heard the poem, "And God Made a Farmer." I don't know if there's ever one been written, but there should be one similar that says, "And God Made a Mother." You know, all of us here have a mother. And some of you are mothers, okay? What an incredible thing that God made. Someone that's going to nurture, someone that's going to care, someone that's going to love so deeply. And, you know, some people grew up without a mom or a mom that fell short, but then some other woman steps in and takes a place. I mean, God just had a great idea on that. So, Lord, we thank you for mothers. We thank you for women, the way that you created them and the roles that they serve, Lord. They reflect you in the way that they love and the way that they honor. And we thank you, Lord. Let's hear from God through our readings.
The first reading today is from Isaiah chapter 44, verses 1 through 4. "But now listen, Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says. He made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams." The second lesson is from Revelations chapter 22, verses 1 through 5 and 17. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." Here ends the readings.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes from the book of John, chapter 7, verses 37 through 52. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guards replied. "You mean he has deceived you also?" the Pharisees retorted. "Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him?" No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you'll find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church? Feel free at this time. Lord, we ask once again that your word would speak to us. You are the living word. That would speak to our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And give us ears to hear. Amen. So the readings today all mentioned water. And water is a good thing. I don't know, just think of those times where maybe you've been out bailing all afternoon in the hot sun, riding on the rack there, and your arms are just all scarred up from tossing those bales. Or maybe you've been the one up in the haymow with the dust up there, your eyes are shut pretty near from it, no breeze. And then it's time to take a break. Everybody heads to that garden hose. That garden hose with the cold well water that tastes better than any water out of the faucet ever possibly could. There's nothing like that cold well water out of that garden hose. Refreshing. Coming to that, just refreshing. And then pouring some over your head besides. And it's incredible. Water refreshes. And water gives life. There's not a single organism that can exist without water. All plants obviously need water. All animals need water. Even the little bacteria need water. Cells cannot function, the cell, the basic building block of all organisms, without water. So water is this incredible gift from God. But there's another kind of water that Jesus references here, a living water. And this is even better yet. This is the ultimate. So the people are gathered in Jerusalem for the Festival of Tabernacles. This festival, it's a big happening. People come from all over. There were three times a year where the men had to come to Jerusalem, and this is one of them. And they would live in tabernacles or booths they'd built. Basically, they're camping out. They built these little shelters that they would live in for 8 days here, the whole length of the festival. This festival served a number of purposes. It was a remembrance of their deliverance from Egypt. It was also at the end of the growing season, so it was to celebrate the harvest, the ingathering of the harvest, and also to look forward to the ingathering of all the people when the Messiah came. And perhaps so that's why Jesus chose this, to get up and say this, you know, the very Messiah himself, although most did not realize it and did not recognize it. So they had been celebrating for the last 7 days, and then on the eighth day, the last day of the festival, the greatest day of the festival, it says, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Whoever is thirsty. Well, we can be thirsty for water, but we can also be thirsty for more of God and hungry for his word. And yeah, can we get enough of God? Can we get enough of Jesus? No way, we can't. We always want more of him. So if we are thirsty, we are to come to him and drink, and it'll be rivers of living water will flow from within them. Okay, I can understand the water flowing around us, but flowing from within us. Okay, that's a little strange. What's up with that, huh? Well, John writes immediately following, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." As believers, his Holy Spirit dwells within us. And it's going to be a fountain flowing up from us, refreshing us. The Spirit does that, among other things. The Spirit does so many things. He comforts us, he guides us, he directs us, he corrects us. But he also flows up within us. Because, again, he dwells within us and flows up within us. And then overflows can flow into those around us as well. Sometimes you're around people, you just can sense the Holy Spirit in them. It's just flowing out of them and into those around them, and it's wonderful when that happens. And that's part of what we are to do as witnesses, as members of the body of Christ, is to let that Spirit not just stay within us, but to well up within us and overflow and to reach other people. that they may believe as well. And there are a lot of different people gathered here with a lot of different opinions about Jesus. He's saying these words, he's got their attention, and then they start discussing it. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." "Oh, what prophet?" Well, way back in Deuteronomy 18, Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." Well, God did raise up many prophets. We have the major ones, Isaiah and Jeremiah, some of the minor ones. You have Amos and Joel and Obadiah and Micah. But what prophet was he referring to here? These people, the Jewish people, had been waiting for this great prophet. And was it perhaps the Messiah? Many scholars think so, that this is a reference to Jesus. So they're expecting a human prophet who had come to represent God, to bring his word, to bring his correction, also bring his comfort. And the Holy Spirit was definitely at work throughout the prophets. You know, when you read through them, no doubt whatsoever. We'll hear from Isaiah in just a little bit. So some of that thought that perhaps this is the long-awaited prophet, this person, this man that we've been waiting for. Others said, he is the Messiah. Okay, not a human prophet, but the Messiah, the one and only that they've been waiting for. But people said, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? That's where Jesus was from. He probably had a Galilean accent and everything else. It's this northern region, sort of the backwater around Nazareth, of which they had said, can anything good come out of Nazareth, right? But they didn't know that he had been born in Bethlehem, because that's what the prophets had said. The Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived. So these people did not realize that that had been fulfilled when they went there to be enrolled, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. So some thought he was a prophet, some thought he was a Messiah, and others thought he was a heretic, that he's going around spreading false teachings, that he's not just sticking to their Jewish traditions. Well, of course not. He is the new covenant. He is the fulfillment of all the prophecies. And everything changed with Jesus. Not only for them, but for us as well. Everything changes with Jesus. You know, if we were still waiting, I guess we'd still be bound by the law. But at the right time, Jesus, or God picked out that right time about 2,000 years ago and said, okay, this is the time I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send the Messiah. I'm going to change things around. And he did. And we get to live in the aftermath of that, which is wonderful. That he has come, that he has defeated death, and that he has guaranteed us a future as believers where we can be with him. So we praise him for that. Now among the people, there were also some others there. If we back up to verse 32, which we did not read, the Pharisees heard the crowd whispering things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Alrighty. So the Israelites, the Jews, they were under Roman rule, and the Roman military was the authority there. But they let them have their own traditions, their own religion, some things like that, to keep them, you know, at peace, to quell uprisings. We're going to let you have your own king, if you will, under Roman rule, of course, your own religion, if you will. You can worship your own God. And you can have, you know, your chief priests, and we'll toss in some these temple guards that will only enforce your religious rules, because they got the Roman army for their rules. But they let them have these temple guards. They're like soldiers of the temple. And they were under orders to bring Jesus back to the chief priests and the Pharisees. If you ever been in the military, if you get an order, you follow it. Now, there are illegal orders or questionable orders where you can question, sir, would you repeat that order? And then, you know, if it's something that's way out of line, you know, I guess that person could not follow the order. It's going to result in a big investigation, uniform code of military justice, everything else. But orders are a serious thing. If you're going to maintain discipline in an army, if you're going to be effective as a fighting force, orders are going to be followed. And these temple guards are used to following orders. They went, they found Jesus. They listened to him. And what he said and how he said it had to have affected them. No one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guards replied. Wow. Did the guards then lose their jobs? Probably booted out of the military, if you will. Were they imprisoned? I'm sure there were consequences. But they knew that they were in the presence of a bigger power, something that had more power than these chief priests who had, you know, a hold on everything Jewish, that there's something about this Jesus. They had to have been sort of in awe of him and his words to actually disobey a direct order knowingly and to suffer the consequences. These guards were definitely affected by Jesus, his presence, his words, and what he said. Again, we don't know what happened to them afterwards, but it just shows you what it was like to hear Jesus. And wouldn't that be amazing to have been there and to have heard him directly in this time, to witness the miracles, to see his hear his teachings, to hear the parables directly from him. Someday we will be in his presence, and that will be amazing, of course. So perhaps these guards, this is sort of like a foreshadowing of Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than man. Again, circled in my Bible, hopefully it's circled in yours as well. If it comes to a choice, what people say or what God says, it should be a no-brainer. We must obey God rather than man. He is the highest authority. He is the one who holds our future. He is the one who can release these living waters into us. They'll well up within us. The living waters representing the Spirit here. We also had heard about water with Isaiah as well. Isaiah, a huge prophet, heard from what God very clearly and recorded the words. In chapter 44 of Isaiah today, this is what the Lord says. Okay, at that we ought to give him our full attention. This is God speaking. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. He's that kind of God. He says, "Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." Here we go, water being poured out, pouring out the Spirit. That the Spirit can fill us. Pouring out the Spirit on their offspring. This, the water on the thirsty land, think of land which is, you can see the cracks in it, right? Because it has not received moisture and nothing growing. The desert can be like that. But after a rainstorm, the desert can actually bloom. That water giving life, refreshing. And it can do the same thing for the dry times and people in our lives as well. That he can refresh us and he can bring life, even when we're in those desert situations. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees flowing by streams. We're seeing flourishing. Here's what we're seeing. Flourishing. Sometimes you're going through dry lands and you see a line of trees. Well, guess what's right there along that line? A river or a creek, some source of water, right? And that's what they're referring to here as well. They will spring up like grass in the meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. Again, flourishing. And how much more with the Holy Spirit flowing, right? How much more? We're not just talking grass. We're talking people that are going to flourish. People that have been dead inside, perhaps, spiritually. But then the Holy Spirit can well up within them and bring them that water. If we just turn to Jesus, he will give us that water. He'll give us that living water freely, that we can flourish, that we can grow as well, that we can be filled with the Spirit and go out and do things in his name and to his glory. This same living water then is referred to in Revelation 22. This is the last chapter of the Bible. Okay, we're getting to the end here. And I'm sure you've read it. I don't want to do the spoiler alert type thing. You know what happens, right? You know how it all ends. It all ends. God wins, right? But at the end there, we get to be with him. Not only because there is no end to when we are with him. It is forever. It is for eternity. And John then, given this vision of heaven, in the last chapter of the Bible, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. Wow. As clear as crystal. This is not a murky water. Now, there's other living waters that you've seen in biology class, right? You get the microscope out, you can see all the little things. That's a different kind of living water, okay? This is God's living water, clear as crystal, refreshing, just that pure water, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. We get to see that someday. Just stand alongside that stream that's going to flow through the city, and I don't know if we get to hold a fishing rod or not, but I mean, that'd be, yeah, maybe God. No, he's got even better things planned, and that might be part of it. Who knows? But this river of life, this water that gives us life as well, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face. No one can look on God and live. We're humans, we're sinful, we're unworthy. Moses just saw a glimpse of the back of God as he went by and was just glowing for days afterwards from that. But here, when we are resurrected with him, we will be able to see his face. And I'm sure we're going to be in awe. They'll see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. He is going to claim us as his own, his name on our foreheads. There will be no more night. We won't need the light of lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light. And they'll reign forever and ever. As believers, you get to be a part of this. This is your future. This is something that we as believers can all look forward to. And if you're not a believer, just talk to someone who is, and they can tell you all about it. That you can come in and be a part of this as well. We'd ended then with verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. This sounds just like Jesus, didn't it? At the Festival of the Tabernacles, come. Come to me. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And here the Spirit and the bride say, come. An invitation to all. It's not just you come and you stay out. No, he invites everybody. Many are going to accept that invitation, and even more are going to reject it. Narrow is the road, and few are those who find it, it says in the Gospels. Praise God that we have found it. And that we can come to him. Come with a thirst. The one who is thirsty, come. We can never get enough of him. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. There's no charge for this. There's no charge for salvation. It's a believing of what Jesus has done for us and living for him. To all who receive and believe in his name, he has given the right to become a child of God. John 1:12, right? It's a free gift, but a priceless gift. Isn't that paradoxical? It's a free gift, but it's priceless. That we may be with him someday. Seeing this river of life, experiencing him forever. Lord, we can't thank you enough. Amen.